The history of rock and roll continues with the sound of disco, 1975. See in the Sunshine Band, and That's the Way I Like It, one of the fastest rising singles in pop music history. It was recorded in Florida in the summer of 1975. Here's Casey's leader, Harry Casey.
It all started really back, my singing starts back in church, and my career, I guess, starts back in my dreams, and when I was working in Henry Stone's warehouse, selling records and packing boxes and sending back returns and sweeping floors and all that sort of thing.
Henry Stone, the president of TK Records, let Casey use a recording studio. And before long, Casey and his friend Richard Finch had developed a new sound in disco music. Casey explained the Sunshine sound.
We don't go in there like some people do with the whole orchestration and a conductor in there, and he does it one shot through, you know. Actually, we don't know what it's going to be like till the finished product. I like to spend a lot of time with my music, and since I have to do everything by ear, you know, because I can't really read or write it, I have to do everything by, you know, the way I feel it, and then go on from there until I think it's finished.
The music of KC and the Sunshine Band was sometimes put down for being too repetitive. You decide. Here's a collage of the biggest hits of KC and the Sunshine Band.
Coming up, keep it coming up. Don't stop it now, don't stop it now.
of the songs you just heard were either number one or number two on the music charts. We asked Harry Casey why disco music became so popular in the mid-70s.
Because of inflation and all that other thing that a lot of clubs were hit with no patrons, the clubs were losing business. So they, in search for a new way to make money, or they started playing records and figured, wow, you know, they pay somebody $100 a week and they come in here and thousands of people, they dance and get hot and buy up all my liquor and I'm making good money and this is great, you know. You used to go to a dance and watch a live band, and now you go to the dance and you listen to their records.
Another recording artist joining KC on the disco trend was a sultry soul singer whose recording home was a pitch dark studio in Munich, Germany. Here's Donna Summer. Donna Summer, who sang in the German cast of Hair, recorded Love to Love You Baby on a dare in 1975. She wrote the lyrics herself, mostly five words, repeated 28 times in the course of her million seller. Donna wasn't the first to sing in a breathy style, but her success inspired a number of imitations. Here's one from just 4 months later, Diana Ross and Love Hangover.
There's a remedy.
Diana Ross and Love Hangover, a number one record in the spring of 1976. Next, more disco when the history of rock and roll continues. The history of rock and roll continues with Disco 1976.
Rhythm, grace, and debonair for one man.
One month after the Spinners' hit with Rubber Band Man, a British star made his disco debut. This is the voice of Leo Sayer.
I started off just by being a harmonica player, and I used to sort of play in blues bands and in clubs, sort of backing various blues players, you know. I suppose there's a lot of the blues influence and the soul influences. I was very influenced by people like Eddie Floyd, Wilson Pickett, particularly, and Otis Redding. And the blues people like B.B. King and mainly Bobby Bland. I was a Bobby Bland fan.
You
You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. It reached number one in January 1977. Next, the history of rock turns back the clock to 1969 to begin a look at jazz rock in the 70s. We'll be hearing from a group that was named by paraphrasing the words of Winston Churchill.
Hello, this is Bobby Columby of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And we're coming up next on the history of rock and roll.
The history of rock and roll continues now with the pioneers of big band jazz rock, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
I lost that love before, got mad and closed the door. But you said, child, just once more. I chose you for the one. Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life. But when it came to loving you, I'd spend my whole life with you. 'Cause you came and you took control. You touched my very soul. You always showed me that loving you is where it's at. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life. Thank you, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love you so much, you see. You're even in my dreams. I can hear, baby, I can hear you.
You've Made Me So Very Happy from the spring of 1969. A million seller for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Their name came from the words of Winston Churchill. The group was conceived by Al Kooper, once a member of the Royal Teens, who'd sung short shorts 10 years before. Al's idea was to augment the traditional rock quartet with a jazzy four-man horn section. Here's a drummer for Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Bobby Columby.
In concept, the band had never thought of itself as a pop group. But with all of the success of our live engagements, many people were interested and aware of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. So when You've Made Me So Very Happy hit the radio, there was a great response to it. It's a beautiful song. And fortunately, it became a hit.
You Made Me So Very Happy came from their second LP, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, which earned two Grammy Awards in 1969, including Album of the Year. It also featured another gold single, composed by their lead singer, David Clayton Thomas.
What
let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you find the directing sign on the straight and narrow highway? Would you mind the reflecting sign? Just let it shine within your mind and show you the color.
Greatest of the contributions, I believe, that Blood, Sweat & Tears has made to the music scene in general was its fusion of classical, jazz, and other art forms with rock and roll, allowing the doors to open. And with these doors now being opened, other bands were given an opportunity to be heard. And eventually, a group called Chicago emerged as an incredibly successful group. I have been asked many times to give a comparison between Blood, Sweat & Tears and Chicago, and that's a very difficult question. But the only answer I can really give is that I think that Blood, Sweat & Tears is a jazz group that's playing rock and roll, and Chicago is a rock and roll group that's playing jazz.
In the spring of 1970, Chicago released their very first top 10 single.
I'm so happy.
Chicago and Make Me Smile. Walter Parizader, who played woodwinds for the group, recalled the beginnings of Chicago.
The first rehearsal was right around February of 67 in my mother's basement. And I think it was everybody got together and we jammed a few tunes and no one had to say anything. It was right there. Everybody looked at each other and went, whoa, this could be a lot of fun.
More Chicago is coming up next on the History of Rock and Roll. The History of Rock and Roll continues now with a controversial record from Chicago. Chicago and 25 or 6 to 4.
This has been labeled everything from a drug tune to odds to a horse race.
Walter Parizader explained what composer Robert Lamb meant by 25 or 6 to 4.
He was trying to write a song, and the way the lyrics are, you know, he tried to do some more, and he meant lyrics. So that's where the drug connotation came in, which was totally false. And then he said, in there it says, I looked at the clock, and it was 25 or 6 to 4.
Chicago began in 1967 as the Chicago Transit Authority, a name that had to be shortened to fit on theater marquees. They played a lot of bars and high school dances around their namesake city before getting a break the next year.
Jimi Hendrix had seen us, and Janis Joplin, and both of those people took us in the fall of 68, took us on major tours. And now that's, wow, that's 20,000 to maybe 30,000 people a night. Now you're opening for two of the super acts of the 60s right there, and legendary people as far as I'm concerned.
James William Gershio, who'd guided the Buckinghams and Blood, Sweat, and Tears to success, took over managing Chicago and produced their first album.
That record still sells. I don't know, I think it's up to about 3 million albums or something, which is, it's about as raw as you'll ever get of seven bums putting down music, you know, that they believed in but didn't know the techniques and everything. But we're very proud of that one, as we were the second one, things really start popping, and Make Me Smile came off of that one, which was the hit.
Besides Make Me Smile, Chicago 2 included 25 or 6 to 4 and another song that took more than a year to become a hit.
Jim had written that slow movement, and he had written that when we had first moved out to L.A., and he said, "Walt, bring your flute over, and I think I have something here that seems kind of nice. What do you think?" And we sat down, we went over it, and we changed it a little here and there and stuff. And I says, "Jimmy, that's going to be remembered someday because it's really pretty and stuff, and that'll be a lot of fun to record." And as it turned out, Color My World has been voted like the number one hit of the year or the last 5 years in a lot of cities.
Chicago and Color My World, from the summer of 1971. The next year, Chicago released their first number one album. Walter Perezater remembered the biggest hit from that LP, written by Robert Lamb.
Robert had been walking in the park, and it was the 4th of July. And we were in New York, and I think we were recording at that time. We were recording the 5th album, which that one came off of. And he has done this a few times, and I'd mentioned it earlier. "What do you think of these lyrics?" He says, "I just was walking in the park. I saw ice cream vendors, people having a great time, you know, frisbee throwing, you know, steel bands. Everything is going on in the park today." And here it was, Saturday in the park, seemed like the 4th of July.
It was
Chicago and Saturday in the Park.
You know, our premise to any album, when we listen to the final mixes and we get the first copy of the record, is it better than the last one? And that has happened all the way along. Composition, playing-wise, we've all grown very much in a lot of directions. Everybody writes now. Everybody's playing much better. You get embarrassed hearing a solo you did maybe five albums ago going, oh, God, that was terrible. How come you weren't stoned for doing that thing? How come tomatoes didn't hit you in the puss, you know? But it's that conscientiousness to keep that level of creativity up there that has kept us going.
The History of Rock and Roll now presents a collage of classic album tracks from Chicago.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Special smile, I promise you'll never leave me, just you and me, simple and free.
Such a look to number, for an answer, to the question, oh yeah.
We try to stay away from gimmicks and gimmickry and all that stuff. Overdubbing, yes, but not for the purpose of making us sound like 55 people, you know, because then you're hurt in concert, obviously.
In 1976, after 19 consecutive hit singles, the group surprised themselves with their very first number one song.
We heard Casey Kasem say that one night we were on our plane and the radio was going and Casey Kasem said something about it, you know, and we sort of thought about that and everybody, it was quiet on the plane. When he said some kind of rap about that. You know, a lot of top 10, a lot of top 5 things, successful albums and stuff like that or whatever. But the first number one, and all at first we all went, wait a minute, that can't be, and stuff, but it was.
That's true.
You know, we all refilled our glasses immediately in a little toast. Stood to the east, facing Chicago.
You take away.
Chicago, and If You Leave Me Now, a song recorded at James William Gershio's Caribou Ranch in Colorado.
My father, being a musician for 40 years now, says, you know, when I'd go to a gig, he said, and I'd get off, he says, play a couple of hot solos, he said, they'd go to hand me the money, and it was almost like stealing. He says, be happy in what you do. He says, and there's very few people that are. And we're in that position, so, man, I don't know, there'll be a Chicago 99 here. You know, it'll be that kind of thing. As long as we have things to say on record, you know, we're going to be around doing it as long as possible.
Chicago. They sold more than 30 million records, and along the way gave rock a brave and brassy new sound. Coming up, a chart sweep of contributors to rock and roll in the 70s. We'll begin with a trio that was nominated for 2 Grammy Awards.
Hi, this is Corey Wells from Three Dog Night, and we're just kind of informing you that we're going to be on the history of rock and roll next.